Archie, you were looking fantastic.
Mate, I know.
What has been going on?
Got to be honest with you, went to the guys at Bowden Blake and they just kidded me out. I've got a clobber for every occasion.
Every single occasion?
Clapham South, Clapham Common, Clapham North, Clapham Junction. Even got clobber for the city. And even if I want to pop down to Cornwall for a cheeky weekend away. It's unbelievable.
So you're ready for the summer ahead?
Yeah, thanks to Bowden Blake. Yeah, I am. And it's the perfect look. If you've got chat, a good chassis, and a lot of coins.
So you can seamlessly go from the city to Inferno's to number 32 down to Cornwall. You've got the look for every single occasion.
Yeah, their shirts are phenomenal.
Are they? Yeah, well, they look wonderful.
Yeah.
They're giving your chassis, which is looking good. You're in pre-seat, but it's not quite there yet.
Mate, trust me.
It's making it look like it is there and ready.
They are soixante descente.
They are soixante descente. Well, is there any code we can give out to the followers? Or?
Oh, is this Lambert?
Well, I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, I think so. You can get 15% off with Lash 15.
The code Lash 15.
Yeah.
So if you go to the Beaufort Blake website,
this is an advert.
It is an advert.
So they're giving us money as well.
Well, it didn't start out as an advert, but it's now become.
Yeah, well, it is, and they're giving us money for this. So I've got free clothes and I got free cash.
Right. Okay. Congratulations.
Unbelievable.
To you. I wish I could get some of the pie, but
no,
Archie,
you can't.
Well,
this
I'd like a shirt at the very least. I'd like a
Rig
shirt
Zony.
At the very least.
Sorry, mate. Rig Zony.
Okay, well, guys, if you want to go get some incredible Beaufort and Blake clobber, and they've got a look for every scenario.
I love it when a podcast starts with an advert. It's just so money.
It is so money. Well, guys, if you want
to... It literally is money.
Well, guys, if you want 15% off this incredible Beaufort and Blake clobber, and trust me, they're going to sort you out for every scenario. Archie's never looked so good. Go to the Beaufort and Blake website, get in your trunks, get in your shirts, get in your chinos, and get ready to lash.
More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Series 5 of the Rig Biz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and yes, you'll be delighted to hear that Archie Curzon is back
Everybody,
once more.
Everybody, yeah, rock your body, yeah. Everybody, rock your body, right? Curzon's back, all right!
You are delighted to be back,
mate,
sir.
That is such a tune, actually. Backstreet Boys had some bangers.
They really, really, really did.
That, actually, when I go to Inferno's on the 21st, that's the first song I'm requesting. That is a tune.
Well, talking...
Mate, it's great to be back. It's
talking
be
about
back.
Going to Inferno's on the 21st,
yeah.
We've got some big, big news.
Yes.
Do you want to tell the masses?
Live pod coming to Inferno's the 21st of June. I will be delivering Chanter live in your ears.
And do you have any special guests coming along for the ride?
Mate, the first guest is none other than Burnsy.
Mr. Freddie Burns will be joining us at Inferno's.
Burnsy's back! All right!
He'll be joining us.
He will be back, hopefully, from Hawaii then.
Yeah, well, hopefully he will be. Otherwise, it's been an absolute nightmare. So, Arch, obviously, since we last spoke, the world has opened up. We're at the end of the lockdown. We're now up and about. How good is it to be around?
It is so good to be back. Honestly, it is Rig. I've loved being out lashing. It has been phenomenal. And listen, mate, I'm going to be honest with you. It's great to be back because although I've been enjoying the lash, what I enjoy about the pod is that when I deliver the pod, I get to deliver my chat to thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm not doing the pod, I'm only doing sort of one-on-one chat, which is quite hard.
Yeah.
So it's an easy way to deliver this, you know, amazing chanter in their ears.
And now that you're allowed to sort of be socializing, dating again and the rest.
Oh, yeah.
What
been
happened
doing
to
a lot
that girl you were giving kudos to? Have you seen her yet? Have you taken her on a nice little date?
No, that ran its course, mate. Unfortunately, it looks like she moved. I still was giving her kudos, but then she moved to Hoxton and she was doing a lot of runs around there and I just said, no, not for me, mate. Not for me. But don't you worry, mate. I've been I've been enjoying the lash, if you know what I mean.
You ready? Not by yourself every single night?
No, with the boys.
With the boys, not with the girls. Okay. Well, obviously you were delighted to not only be back in the pubs and everything else, but also you attended your first live sports fixture in over a year. Last Friday,
mate,
you went to
Twickers and phenomenal turnout. There was about 10,000 people. I think a few people were clapping me as I came in. I couldn't tell because I came out at the same time as the teams came out, but I was pretty sure that the clapping was for me.
I don't think it was. Not many people recognized you. You were hoping to do photos and videos and the
like. You came with me, mate. And I tell you, people did recognize
me. Well, I didn't see anyone else around.
Yeah, but they were normally asking, when I was going to loo or getting Lash, you missed it.
Okay, right. Okay.
But a lot of people recognized me.
And were you giving the Leicester boys, you said in your Instagram stories that you were giving the Leicester boys some chat from the sidelines?
Yeah,
did they like?
They seemed to enjoy it. They seemed to, 40 gave me a good old look.
Did he?
It was a look. I wasn't sure whether he recognized me or he didn't know who I was. I wasn't sure. But
sort
it was
the look you get from your father?
No, my dad gives me a loving look.
And the look of love. Yeah. Okay. Well, obviously, this is the pre-see. We're starting the pre-see. Yeah. A couple of episodes to get us all warmed up again.
It is pre-see, guys. So, you know, the chat might not be up to the level we've expected it over the last few seasons, but pre-see's there to build up the chat, the chanter, and the rig. And hopefully, when the Lions kick off... we'll be flying.
We are doing a dedicated line series.
This is going to be a tough pre-season fixture. But, you know, as I said to you multiple times, Fred, you've got to be doing your training off the pitch. And I hope you have, mate, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be tonight.
Just the two of us.
Yo!
We can make it if we try.
Rick Biz Pod.
Just the two of us.
Archie C.
Alistair and I.
Coming in your ears. I want to get some
fizz. Just the two of us.
Yes.
We can make it if we try.
Archie C, number 10. I run Alistair the fucking Papa Alistair, Daddy Yo. It's Archie C. I'm here saying, what the foe? I miss you at Christmas and I miss you now. Any chance I can come and we can hang out? Daddy, how about Father's Day? How about you and me just go away? We can laugh and hug and kiss all day and then head back to mine and manscape away. Cause Daddy, your nose hair always makes me feel so bad. Like not emotionally, but like physically bad. Like disgusted and sad. I was embarrassed by your bush, your ear hair, nose hair and your tush. So here's a little treat from me. They call it a weed whacker, I think number 3. It'll improve your performance in every single way. That's why we're on board with the Manscaped way. So guys, if you're like me and you're going to treat your daddy to some serious goods in Father's Day, why not treat him to some Manscaped? Use the code RIGBIZ20 and get 20% off your first order and free shipping. It's just fucking good chat.
So, Archie, we promised that we would bring the biggest and best guests in the world, and today we delivered once more.
Yes.
We're kicking off season 5 with the one, the only, Mr. Monty Panesar.
MP.
How excited are you to talk to him?
Mate, very, very excited. Connected with him on LinkedIn and Instagram, and I'm looking forward to getting down to business.
Hi, guys. Sorry.
Welcome.
For the delay. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Don't worry. You know what, Monty? You probably need to get yourself a PA. I could actually lend you my PA if you need it.
Much. What's the hourly rate?
She's on about 35K a year, but she's fantastic. And she gets a small bonus at the end of the year.
Well, you must be a very busy man to give a PA 35K. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, Monty, I'm CEO of Clapham. So, you know, I'm a busy guy. But look, it's fantastic to get you on the pod. We're massive fans.
Well, Monty, you've just got back from India where you were playing for the England Legends team with KP and the other boys. How did you get on over there? And did you boys have some good socials after the games?
We just had a great time there, actually. I think when we went there, we wasn't too sure what would it be like, and we thought it'd be like a lashings game, you know, just like a benefit match, legends together having a laugh. But it was really serious, you know. They had like 20,000-30,000 people in the stadiums, and Kevin Peterson was brilliant.
He probably has a PA.
Well, I don't know, this is a very good question. I think when you have a PA, does that mean you've made it in the world because you've become so busy, so successful? Maybe it's one of them things I need to put as my goal for 2021.
Well,
I need to get a PA, which means I've become very busy.
Well, Monty, I always say, if you need help finding one, just let me know, because I put down the criteria. I always look for a PA that has come from sort of an arts background, you know, dancing, singing, or athletic background. Someone who is, just understands that banter is banter, and then someone who's great to have a drink with. So those are the three criteria I look for, and Tanya, who I've got now, is brilliant. She's 34, she's into yoga, she has a dreamy body, but more importantly, she's really efficient.
Okay, brilliant. So what's the your favorite criteria out of the three? Is it yoga or drinking?
She's good fun on a night out. And when before coronavirus, we had a few nights at Inferno's. I don't know if you've been to Inferno's before.
Oh, that's, I'll add that on my list. I'm sure I'll meet you guys in Inferno's.
Oh, Monty, you will enjoy Inferno's. Inferno's happens to be probably, if not London's, probably the world's greatest nightclub. It's based in Clapham High Street. And it is phenomenal. It's a great night out. There are some beautiful cheekers there, but it's just great chat. There's a lot of rugby guys there, just with their tops off, drinking pints. If you like Max Evans, then it's, you know, it's Max Evans' favourite nightclub in London.
Anything Max Evans excused you to get his top off, that's it. He's the first one who gets it off.
How do you know Max? Because he's obviously been on the podcast.
Yeah, I know him on Dancing on Ice. You know, we became really good mates. And, you know, rugby, cricket, you have that similar banter, which, you know, makes it easier to connect. And he was brilliant. You know, he's into his fitness. I love my fitness. And, yeah, we just got talking. And he told me his uncle is actually the famous Evan out of the three.
Yeah.
And,
Chris.
And he told me about his brother, who's actually, you know, he's actually probably, his fame has gone through the roof now because he's got a very famous partner.
Yeah, but it pays to be that good looking.
Yes, yes, yes. Like, I guess, you know, all them hours doing the hard training sessions and, you know, making sure you got a chiseled jawline and six and abs and all of that. Sort of pays dividends in later down the line.
That's what I say. A lot of the guys I work with in the city who are in good shape seem to be successful. I do think there's something in that. Look at Tom Evans. Probably not the sharpest tool in the shed, but he's in phenomenal shape and he's having, you know, a good time with Nicole Scherzinger, someone I used to have the poster on at my my boarding room.
When is he going to go down on his knee? You should be there. Should be getting the ring out.
Yeah, get down on your knees, Tom.
She is phenomenal. What a woman. What a woman.
Monty, were you ever asked to go on the Celebrity X Factor? Do you have a good voice?
No. Well, I don't know. I haven't sung yet. But maybe if I have a few singing lessons and I could sort of, you know, surprise Simon Cowell. He's probably sitting there bored listening to everyone else. And then he goes, oh, let me see what Monty's all about. And he'd be thinking, oh, this is interesting. I'll just put him through the next round because he's just a great guy.
Monty, just going back to your incredible career. So obviously you're still, you know, you had an amazing series in India. You want to get back involved in the professional game. Duncan Fletcher described you as the greatest finger spinner of all time. Were you in Shane Warne's top 100 cricketers?
Yeah, he managed to put me in there. So that was very kind. So I got his top 100 cricketers. So that really helped my career.
But Monty, how come no counties are giving you a go? Because you want to get back involved in the professional game, don't you?
Yeah, I did. I did sort of thought maybe, you know, I had an article out on the Sunday Times and thinking, hoping that there'll be a county or someone out there, but no one kind of really approached me or, you know, a lot of people kind of say to me, well, Monty, that's, you know, you're 39 now, you know, you're maybe past that. And that's what I started to do last year. I think in September, I did a degree, which I'm doing right now. It's a 1-year degree, master's in sports journalism.
Monty, did you not go to LinkedIn, which Archie believes is the greatest network place in the world, to try and get a job as well? I saw you put out a post on LinkedIn asking clubs for opportunities to come play. Did you get anything off the back of that? And if not, Archie,
I didn't really get anything back of that either. So, you know, you're generally, it's a little bit difficult, isn't it? It's like you ring up a coach and you're not really sure what they're going to think. They're like, you know, 39. And then you look at their young sort of spinners playing in the team, you think, well, I don't really have a spot here. Where is a spot? And I don't know if I can see one, but you never know. There could be, you know, there could be a county sort of halfway through the season, you know, if they need a spinner or like a spin coach spinner, something like that, would nice to get involved.
To be honest, Monty, I only really use LinkedIn for dating. So I couldn't really help you in terms of how to get network, really. But I would suggest maybe getting a membership to the NED. I don't know if you have been to the NED?
No, I don't have membership to the NED or the Trump, apparently. That's another place I need to get membership.
Yeah.
Come on, Freddie.
What?
You're the guy with 50,000 people on LinkedIn, and you have a PA.
That's me.
I'm sure
that's
next stage is for you to get a membership for Monty Panesar.
Monty, it's Archie, and yeah, I will definitely go and get you a membership to NED. No problem at all. Just tell me though. More importantly, I mean, I know you're sort of trying to get a journalistic, you know, job. You're doing the degree. And also the cricket. If right now, short term, what would be the ideal opportunity? Would you go and play cricket now and put the degree on the back burner, or would you try and balance both?
Probably try and balance both. And then, you know, the thing is, second half of the season, when the wickets get drier, you just don't know. There could be like a team that I think actually could do with an experienced campaigner, and then, you know, I could start playing cricket again, which I've done all my life. So yeah, that's the easiest, you know, sort of go to sort of, you know, you put a ball in my hand, I'm at my most relaxed, you know. So yeah, that's probably, yeah, my ideal option.
Listen, you know, I'm gonna speak to some of my contacts at the NED. I think I can sort this out for you. I really do.
Well, Archie, if you can sort it out, then great.
Well, Archie, you'll be on
speed dial on my phone.
No problem, Monty. Anything for a new friend on Instagram and a good friend of Max Evans's, it's not a problem. And for a small fee, which we can talk about off camera, I will get you a contract at a county team.
And Monty, you're obviously one of England's greatest spinners of all time, but what about the people who say Monty only had one delivery? He couldn't turn it the other way. He never mastered the Dusra. Like, what do you say back to that? People saying, actually, he wasn't that good. You were great.
Well, yeah, I was probably more of an orthodox spinner. And look, sometimes, you know, it was a very simple thing of just changing my, you know, length stride at the crease. So I'll get it to bowl slower, just change my positions, change angles, small things like that, rather than going back to my stock delivery, which was obviously I had a really good stock delivery. But in between that, that's all I had to do. It wasn't like a million miles away or anything like that. It was just small little things, which in the media, it gets talked about, but that's all it was. It wasn't anything like something I had to do drastically, you know, and it's the pressure, you know, it's the pressure of playing top level sport.
Monty, as well as being the CEO of Clapham, I'm also the captain and social secretary for the Clapham Falcons, which is a semi-professional rugby team. I could have gone pro, but I, you know, there's too much money to be made in the city. Interesting you talking about that, because who did you turn to in times when you did feel the pressure, you know, on the field and off the field? For me, it's my father, Alistair, who I have a great relationship with. I'm hoping to see him this year. Is there anyone in the team or that you talked to on the field when you felt the pressure? And who did you speak to?
I think part of my character at the time was probably trying to please probably everyone, listen to everyone, rather than should have had one or two people and that was it. So it was a bit of a tough time for me, because I just tried to listen to everyone rather than just have one or two people that I trusted. I remember Jeffrey Boycott said to me, he goes, Monty, the second word is off and the first word you can work out. And just tell everyone that, because you're just a natural cricketer. And maybe I should have had that conviction when I was younger. I just told everyone to F off, really. And sometimes being that blunt as a sportsman helps you, because then no one can get in your bubble. You can simplify the game in your mind. As keep it, because it's the key for any sportsman, is you want to keep it as simple as possible, whatever your game plan is, whatever that is. And sometimes listening to too many people can complicate your own game plan.
It's funny, it's not just in the sports arena, it's also in an office environment. You know, there's Michelle from accounts in my office. You know, she'll come in, she'll want to know, you know, about stuff, and I do, you know, I have to simply say, just fuck off, Michelle, just fuck off, okay? Because I'm bringing the money. I don't care who pays it. You chase it. Fuck off. But, you know, and it's interesting. And you can use that on the rugby field. There's a couple of guys on my team that I will just, you know, they'll tell me, stop kicking it, you know, trying to do a crossfield kick. And I'll just tell them, fuck off, you know. My dad's bankrolling this team. So if you don't like it, you know, fuck off.
Well, Monty, talking about coaches.
Freddie, fuck off.
I mean, you were in that incredible team coached by Andy Flower. Alistair Cook was captain for a certain period. And obviously it all fell apart after that Ashes series. And KP is obviously the scapegoat. So tell us the truth from inside that dressing room. How bad were the feelings between KP and the rest of the team? And how hard was it to work under Andy Flower?
I think KP was one of the sort of cricketers that became this global T20 phenomena. Him, maybe Chris Gayle were the two, you know, leading cricketers in the world. And possibly, yeah, possibly other cricketers in the team were thinking, well, why is he allowed to have the liberty to do what he wants and, you know, and enjoy the success of, you know, playing in the IPL and having a massive paycheck day, which starts to create differences amongst teams, amongst the environment. You get a group of 11 players and you think, right, you know, everyone's on the same salary cap and we go and win it and become successful. Then everyone's, you know, a bit more together. But when you see one person just become the superstar of IPL T20 cricket and play for England,
yeah,
It kind of starts, you know, divide the team a little bit.
But Monty, how bad was the relationships in the dressing rooms? You know, give it to us straight. Everyone's in there with KP. Are people speaking to him? You know, you guys travel for months on end in cricket.
Yeah.
Did anyone talk to KP? Or was he by himself?
Yeah. look, I think when we played the Ashes and he was fielding down to fine leg, you know, he never used to field there. That's when he realised that's actually the relationship between the team and KP is so far and distant that they're not, you know, it takes, you know, like they say, it takes two hands to clap. You know, you need two parties to come together and work it out, you know. So, yeah.
But Monty, did you ever see Matt Pryor and KP come to, you know, physicals or, you know, swearing in the change room? And I've heard some rumours that it got pretty ugly.
Yeah, look, they're both South Africans. They're both competitive. They're both similar in nature in terms of how they play cricket. They were good mates when they played youngsters together. So you're going to get, like, you know, one sort of saying, you know, align yourself with the team and the other saying, no, I want to, you know, do what I want. But that because they've got such similar backgrounds, you know, and that characteristics are quite similar.
Yeah.
They're obviously going to, you know, fall out.
So, Monty, was it Matt Pryor who started the Twitter account then? Apparently it was. I think, yeah.
Oh, is that the case? I'm not even sure.
Really, like, Monty?
It is interesting you talk about the Twitter account because I used to read some of the message when I wasn't in the team and I found them very funny and they were so spot on with some of the stuff that came out. But
are you sure it wasn't you?
Imagine if you were that player now, Freddie, you know, and someone did a Twitter account on you, and then
no one would do a Twitter account on Freddie, Monty. He's pretty irrelevant. If someone did a Twitter account on me, yeah. I mean, there's been some stuff in the Clapham press, which I just want to say was not me or my body.
I think they're good mates now because I think they both work together on Talk Sport. So, yeah, they must be. Yeah, they are. They seem to work along well. Commercial. Hi guys.
Are you tired of spending all your money on gymnasium memberships and yet you're seeing no results? Well then fear not, for today we introduce to you the most genius king of home workouts, Mr. Monty Panesar. What that man can't do with a can of beans isn't worth talking about. So come on down from the comfort of your own living room and get in shape today. All thanks to the ingenious methods crafted over many years by the wonderful mind of Mr. Monty Panesar. That man will get you into shape this summer so you can get that chassis out and treat yourself and all the chicas are going to be purring. Mr. Monty Panesar, tell us how you do it.
Shoulder press down, bicep curl up.
AC Limited is absolutely delighted to be going to partnership with Monty Panesar Limited, and we'll be bringing you the best home workouts you could ever imagine. So get the chassis in shape this summer. All you have to do is go to aclimited.com/ Monty's Workouts.
Goffey told a great story when he was on here that when they were playing test cricket, Goffey just came along to take him on the piss and to make him feel happy. Did you play with Goffey? And what were your impressions? Could you do some stuff with him on Talk Sport, don't you?
I do bits and pieces, you know. I would love to get involved more, you know, with Talk Sport. So, yeah, look, Goffey's a great guy because he's a type of guy. I think everyone warms to him. You just want to meet him and just be around him because he makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And he just does that with everyone. And that was good on him to say, come on, guys, two mates, let's make up now. You know, you're two good mates. And I think they've kind of made up, but I don't know. I don't know who created the Twitter account. I don't know, you know, why it was created, who did it. But I've never seen another sportsman, you know, where a Twitter account's been created. This is where KP's argument is. It's like he had a laugh with it to just find that's great. But I think someone in the management or bigger picture said, no, cancel that Twitter account. It's affecting our play.
Yeah.
That's what that was the problem. The real problem was that's the root of it. Was that Twitter account?
Yeah.
If there wasn't a Twitter account, none of this would have ever happened.
Well, Monty, just to finish off on KP before we move on to more of your incredible career, what was the worst altercation you saw between KP and another teammate, and who was it? A moment where you just said, I can't believe I'm saying this in a professional environment.
Sometimes you got to align yourself how the establishment want you in this country. And people don't like maverick people. Ian Botham was one.
Yeah.
Out of the circle.
Oh,
and all this kind of stuff. And when you play at high level for England,
yeah,
mavericks in this country are a big no-no unless the establishment say, come and join us and be part of our party.
And they have, but, for me. And I've said, yeah.
Yeah, that's why, like, where's my membership for Trump, for Ned, for this?
It's coming, don't worry. But you're right, you know, if you're a maverick, you get shot down. The amount of abuse I get, you know, people saying, like, oh, your teeth are so brilliant. And, you know, and you know, just being really, you know, critical about my, you know, my nose, or, you know, people saying that maybe I put on a bit of body fat. And I'm saying, guys, I'm in preseason. I'm trying to just reduce, but it's difficult. If you're a maverick, you put yourself out there, you get shot down.
Some of the stuff we hear, you know, like, I'd rather be a scouse than a, you know, the P word.
Yeah.
And it's just like, is this really on? Like, do we have to accept this kind of behavior and to say, yeah, brush it on the side? It's just part of society, guys. You know, this is what you're going to get as a sportsman. You're going to get racism. People are going to shout chants at you. Just quieten it out. You know, it's about mental toughness. Go out there and perform. Should a person from a diverse background deal with this sort of stuff?
Yeah, Monty, talking about chants, I've actually watched you play around the world. You were always brilliant. But the Indian fans used to have a bit of a sort of laugh and a joke with you, and they used to sing Monty's Punjabi. And that was obviously a light-hearted, you know, because they actually wanted you to play for your team, for their team. You were so good. But what's the worst chant or the worst sort of heckling you've ever had to deal with when you've been fielding at fine leg?
Look, I was in the England team, like you said, you know, I just did anything to accept myself. My coaches around me said, whatever the coach tells you to do, just accept, because you want to be part of the circle and the team. And I think sports banter brings team together. Doesn't matter what color, race you are, you have a laugh, and it binds everyone together, right? So people say to me at fine leg, Monty, where'd you park your elephant, mate? And I had a laugh with it, you know? Great, it's great fun. But now, do you think it's possible? If a fan said that to me now, I think you have to report it.
Yeah, you would.
I'm so used to sports banter, which can be a bit racist. It can be a bit of a laugh. You know, you laugh at each other's, you know, I give out British white jokes to my teammates, they give me back. We have a great laugh. But I don't know. I don't know if we're allowed to do that anymore. I think it's banned.
I think the way banter is these days, you know, I don't think you can have that kind of chat anymore. As I said, my second title is the Chief Chat Officer, and I steer away from any sexism, racism. I'm just purely about CrossFit and lashing it up, getting on the old sauce, which I am pretty phenomenal at. Monty, you're always more than welcome to come out with me. I thought a perfect night is we'd start with I know you don't drink anymore, but we could have a few drinks on the roof of the Ned, then take the Northern Line down to Clapham, and I'll just show you out and about some of the great places. I think you'd love number 32. It's a phenomenal pub. And then we'd head to Inferno's, and there are, like I said, some lovely, lovely ladies there. So I could introduce you to some of the girls who play for the netball team, for Clapham netball team. Really, really nice girls.
Friday night, I'm booked in now.
And I think a couple of them are RPAs. So that could be also an interview scenario in a nightclub, which will probably, you know, you'll see their best side. You'll see them in their natural environment.
I'm learning all the tips from you, Archie, now. So great.
You're welcome.
I'm looking forward to, I think my some Friday evenings are booked up with Freddie and Archie.
Mate.
Not so much Freddie. I think Freddie would be he's a massive cricket fan, Monty, and a big fan of yours. So I think you'd find it overwhelming. I think he'd want to be having pictures with you the whole time.
So he can put it up on his Facebook and then tell everyone, look.
Yeah, I'm with Monty. And I'd be like, well, you're not, because Monty's my friend. He follows me on Instagram and we're really good friends.
Cardiff is probably what you're going to go down in history for, where you managed to bat for over 40 minutes, 69 balls with Jimmy Anderson to save the first test, which looked like we were going to lose. We ended up winning that series, all thanks to you. Firstly, what were the Australian boys saying to you? Surely they were giving you a lot of chat behind the stump, sledging those guys.
No, they didn't say anything at all. I think they were just a little bit surprised that Monty's really getting stuck in here. He's not going to get out or whatever. And we just count down the balls. Jimmy and me were just saying, listen, we'll probably nick one in a minute. Take it ball by ball. They kind of surprised ourselves, you know, and just thought, wow, we've actually drawn a test match. It was probably my finest sales in an English shirt. And that was my last test match at home.
Last test match home before New Zealand away. But how angry were you?
Yeah.
Because you just saved the series for England. You put your body and your mind on the line to save it for the country. And then the next week, you see Andy Flower and he says, Monty, you're dropped, mate.
I knew I was going to get dropped, like, because I didn't bowl very well. I bowled terrible. My bowling wasn't good at all. That was it, really. And then that was my last home test match. And I didn't play after that.
If only we knew each other, because I would have gone and had words with this Andy Flower guy. I mean, I'm not a cricket guy, but But I would have gone and had words with Andy Flower and said, listen, Andy, why don't we go for a drink and let me just give you a proposition. I could have been sort of your your PA in a way and your agent. And I would have probably got you a few more starts in that test. You deserved it. I'd say, listen, Monty Panesar is starting that next test, Andy Flower. And I'll tell you why, because if he doesn't, you're sacked. That's the kind of power I held or have held.
Wow, Archie, I need to come and see you more often now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. For a fee, Monty, that is fine.
I'm happy because Freddie will pay the fee.
Although Andrew Strauss said you trained harder than anyone he'd ever met, when you got dropped from that Cardiff test, it sort of started a downward spiral for a bit in your career. So, you know, you started to feel the ball with your feet and throwing the ball in underarm. You were playing county cricket and really, you know, unhappy. You're falling out of love with the game. How bad was that 2013 season for you?
Yeah, it was a very difficult season. I think you're probably right. I fell, you know, out of love with the game. It's probably that's what it is. When you don't love the game, then you're like, your behaviours are different. And that's probably what it was. You know, I wasn't in love with the game. And suddenly, yeah, you're like thinking mental health in sports is a way of, I think they're much better now. But yeah, at the time, it was still learning about it. You know, a lot of people learning about that kind of stuff. And even, Trescothick that came out with it, which we didn't realise at the time what was going on. And I was probably, yeah, suffering myself. But I was the other end. I'll fight it. I had a book from the PCA sent to me that strong deniers is a characteristic of you know, you got mental health. You're like, you know, I'm a sportsman. We're supposed to be strong. You know, we're supposed to show that, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And, you know, we don't show sign of weakness, all of that kind of, you know, cliche kind of stuff. And I was the other end. You know, there's this, I think some people are quite soft, you know, if they're not great, you see a soft side to them. Me, I'll get more of a, like, you see a harder side, you know, more of aggressive side. And that's the other end where it's actually that there is, you know, the balance, you know, one end to the other, then you know there's something isn't right, you know. And I had to eventually, I had an article with Mike Atherton, and I had to eventually, because ECB cricket, everyone just thought, Monty's gone off the rails, what's going on with him? That was the start of that journey where I had to admit to myself, maybe something isn't right and I need to maybe get some help. And then, yeah, I started to work with like professional psychologists and stuff. And then eventually realized, you know, I don't want to be on medication. It's not for me. Short-term weight gain and all that kind of stuff. Got off it. I thought, again, you know, the Monty mentality, head on, right. This is my, I know there's days I don't feel great. I know there's days I'm going to feel not good. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to have a list of all the things to do when I don't feel great, go and do one of them. And then that's it. I started to, you know, it's basically when your serotonin levels are lower than it needs to be and you've got to do exercises to boost it up. Without medication, I just fought it. And now no medication, I'm perfectly fine now.
I mean, I haven't really suffered mental health issues yet. But, you know, the one time after my gap year, I missed out on a promotion in my office and actually started taking up touch rugby. Instead of one day a week, two or three times a week. And that actually helped me, funny enough, yeah. Just, you know, to run around with the boys.
Well, Archie.
So that's if anyone else is listening, obviously take Monty's advice. But, you know, if you live in Clapham, we organise touch rugby all the time. Come
every
down.
Thursday,
yeah.
But don't turn up in a bad mood.
Well, Monty, talking about exercise and the importance of it in, you know, helping your mental health, you obviously, you know, you become very famous for doing your home workouts. Now, you like to keep your rig in shape. You're looking great, you know, in very good shape, I must say, the boxing as well. And you've come up with some genius ways to
that
use...
That is a hell of an arm there, Monty. That looks decent.
You've come up with genius ways to use household objects for workouts. So I was wondering if you could give us on camera now, I don't know if anything's in your vicinity near you, but if you could just give our viewers a couple of home workouts they could do.
Yeah, look, you can get two cans of thing and then just go like that.
Two cans of, yeah, anything.
No, let me get them one sec.
A few moments later.
It's like this. Get a couple of cans.
Yeah.
And then shoulder press down, bicep curl up, like that, yeah. And that's easy. Just do 20 of them a day. And, you know, at least you're doing some sort of exercise like that. And you can just sit there while you're talking to your family or... You know, while you're watching, let's say, Morning Live on BBC One, which is a really good program, actually.
You could do it on a business call if the camera wasn't on.
Yeah, you could do it on a business call. You know, have say, you'd guys, like, can we have a two-minute break? Like,
Michelle, stop bloody calling me, okay? you sorted out. I brought the deal in. Listen, Michelle, just fuck off.
Yeah.
But I still be working out. I still be working out.
Monty, obviously you're in great shape. You're currently a single man. Are you looking to settle down? Have you been dating anyone of late? You know, now that the world's opening up again?
No, I haven't really found anyone. So
are you on Raya?
You know, maybe Archie and Freddie can when we're on our nights out.
Monty, I know...
You'd be great wingman for me.
Listen, I could find you a lovely chica. Have you been out in Clapham yet, Monty, at all?
No, I haven't, actually.
You're joking. Oh, you would love it. Imagine me and you just bowling down the Northcote Road. Clapham is well known to have some of the most beautiful people and a lot of high net worth individuals. So the best thing about it is you'd meet a girl and probably her parents are really wealthy, so you wouldn't have to work ever again. Brilliant.
Well, there you go. We've got to sort that arrangement.
You had a Bollywood film made about you called Battalia House, and Archie's got his own movie he's trying to make, which I believe is called Clapham Junction.
Yeah, James Haskell's playing the lead, and I thought we could get you in as the quirky housemate that lives with him. Would you be keen?
Perfect, let's do it.
Also, the last thing, Mastermind, you know, you've been incredible on TV. What are your memories of that day on Mastermind? What went wrong?
I was one question behind. I think John Humphreys got me there with his chair and all the lights on spotlight on him. And he's just looking at you thinking, I'm going to catch you out here, Monty. And he did.
Monty, one thing we ask all our guests before you go, and I know you've got to go, but what is your biggest highlight and what is your biggest regret?
Biggest highlight is probably, you know, Cardiff Test match, batting. Biggest regret, I wish I had a PT trainer when I played for England. I would have been so much more athletic and fit.
Yeah.
That's my biggest regret.
We have a lot of incredibly important people who listen to this podcast. And so just to finish off the final 10 seconds, I want to give the floor to you and I want you to pitch to the counties to give you one more shot.
To all the counties, I'm ready to go. I'm bowling well. And maybe I can, you know, come into your county as a player coach, spin coach role and also play. So hopefully there's an opportunity out there for me.
And you're not afraid to tell people to fuck off.
Yeah.
Monty, thank you so much. A real highlight to meet you and interview you. Great guy. Best of luck with everything. And we'll see you in Clapham very soon for some lash.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Ho-ho!
Monty
Bantasar.
What?
Yeah, that's actually quite a good chat. Monty Bantasar.
Yeah, you're still warming
no,
up.
That
it's
is, no, mate, that's good chat. In the Clapham Falcons Rugby Club, that would go down a tree. It's actually a massive shame that he doesn't go out anymore and get lashed, because he'd be great with all the cricket guys we've come on the pod. You know, we have a great squad.
Yep.
We have Goffey, Popey, Ducky, Toppers. I mean, he hasn't been in a pod, but that guy does damage on a night out.
Yeah.
And then you got old Bantasar. And then maybe that guy, Harry Gurney.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have enough followers.
Inside Christmas cave and ditch your mind. Come inside Christmas cave and cash your fine. Come in Christmas cave. Come against the cave. Come in Christmas cave. Little fucking cave.
So, Archie, obviously you've been working throughout this pandemic.
You're bloody
right.
You've
been doing incredibly well.
Yeah, Q2 is going phenomenally well.
And you're looking for...
Actually, big shout out to all the guys in my office, because if the numbers are right, we're going to have a big Q2 party.
Well, that's very exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, obviously...
I would like to say more, but everyone knows my office. What goes on tour stays on tour.
Well, things are going incredibly well, but you're looking...
A lot of spearing angel. And no chat.
You're looking to grow your investment portfolio through AC Limited.
Yeah.
So you've decided that Dragons Den, they don't spend enough money. So you're going to put your own money from Curzon Capital, from AC Limited, into a new show called Curzon's Cave.
Curzon's Cave. Very similar to Dragons Den, but it's just me. Investor. And
are you being funded by someone as well?
No.
That's your own money?
Well, yes, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, so people are going
to... Some of it's my dad's, but I'll get it when he dies.
Okay, so it's essentially
I hope so.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, Will. Anyway,
if it's a good idea, then I'll run it past him, and he listens to me big time. So don't you worry. So I'm looking forward to getting people on there and pitching me their ideas.
So they're going to come on, pitch a new idea for AC Limited to invest in.
Or their CV. They could be just an individual I want to invest in.
You may be investing in product or actually personnel.
I'm like Peter Jones. I might not like the product, but I might like the personality. Well, I'll be like, listen, I like you. I'm going to invest in you.
Okay, well, that's incredibly exciting. And we'll be doing this throughout the series.
50% of your salary.
We're starting with a certain Mr. Paul. He only has one name at this point. He's coming on and he's going to pitch you his idea.
Ooh, Paul.
Paul.
Oh, that's a shame.
Let's get him on.
How's it going, boys? How you doing?
Yeah, very well, mate. That's some strong get up there. You got the Quinn's bucket hat? Is that a Quinn's bucket hat?
No, this is actually my uni, Notts and Trent University.
Right, okay. Are you going fishing after this?
Yeah. So obviously I've got my Lash Bear top on, but you know, just keep the gilet on, stay nice and warm.
Yeah.
Sorry if you hear some stinky chat in the background. I've actually got my PA just in the background there.
That's okay.
I know that I did connect with you on LinkedIn last September, which I'm sure you remember fondly.
Yeah. I know all my 4,568 million connections by name. Yeah. I actually thought I recognised you.
Let's get this going.
Frank, what is Paul doing here today?
So Paul's coming on now to Curzon's Cave, and he's going to pitch his idea for a new investment from AC Limited.
Okay.
If we go with it, we'll invest. And secondly, there's a job up for grabs for the best idea. So when he finishes uni or this summer, he can come in for an internship, paid internship, obviously, and we'll look after him.
Yeah.
So Paul, give us a tiny bit of background about who you are, and then give us the idea, please.
I like your name, your age, you know, where you went to school. Where your parents live, and then I would like to have a look at your chassis, and then we'll get down to business.
So my name's Paul Michael Bendel. I'm 20 years old. So stats before uni was just one, and now we're up to 15, and still negative for chlamydia, which is great.
Fantastic. Well done, mate.
I'm currently studying a BA in BD, which is great, just sort of connecting with like-minded people around the city.
Yeah.
Sadly, we do live in a bit of a dodgy area in Shottingham here, but nonetheless, it just adds a bit more to student life.
Character building.
It is.
Yeah. The only problem is bad internet.
Yeah. So, I am from the Cotswolds area. And
Whereabouts are the Cotswolds? Whereabouts?
So, just sort of like South Gloucester area.
Near Cirencester?
Yeah, near Cirencester. Yeah,
okay, great. Great place. Yeah, produces some fantastic lashes.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and great talent there as well. You don't see a bad girl from there.
No, okay. I'll take your word for it.
yeah, absolutely. So my father does have a flat in Clapham Junction area.
Brilliant.
Just over the rail line.
What's his job?
So he's actually retired now. So he retired about 12 years ago at the age of 50. He just set up his own business called Bendel Freight, which is just sort of like haulage and transport.
Oh yes, please. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't go well, you won't have to work a day.
Exactly.
Yes, please. Mate, this guy could be good, because if his idea is good, we could get his dad in for the investment as well. Cover our costs.
What's your dad's name?
Kevin.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow. You got a Paul and a Kevin. They've got money. You would never see that happen.
It's one of those. I mean, he's mainly just called Kevlar, but I think he saw me thinking, we'll name him Paul and then give it 40 years' time. 40 years' time, that'll be a perfect name.
Yeah.
So it's a bit
I can see that coming back round. Okay. Yeah. So, mate, shoot us with your idea. I'm interested. I'm all ears. I'm always looking for new ways to invest, start businesses. Go.
Just coming off a bit of a big weekend bender, so I haven't actually had that much time to think of an idea, but I've got a nice Corona and lime in front of me now.
Right, okay.
And I think my idea, which is now revolutionary, is before you buy the Corona, they already come with the lime inside it. Already, it saves so much time. I mean, thinking if you're out on the common and you're taking your limes and you create a Corona, I mean, you don't really want to be cutting it up. You just want to be cutting shapes, putting up a few up and unders and having the drink straight. So I'm thinking my idea is sort of in the supply chain stage, linking limes and Coronas early on. And then, you know, we can add it in. Maybe it doesn't need to be Corona. Maybe we call it like CCC Corona, something along those lines.
Well, look, Paul, I'm going to just stop you there and just say I'm fortunately out. And I'll tell you my reasons.
Do. I thought it was quite good.
Freddie, you would, but you're not a businessman like me. You talk about going to the common, you know, taking beers, fine. But I might have one Corona. I might have two, depending if it's someone's birthday.
Sonny.
But you're not going to catch me, Freddie. You know me very well.
Yep.
I'm not going to be having more than two beers in the common. The amount of calories in those beers is astronomical. And unfortunately, for that reason, you haven't thought about the three C's, my friend. You haven't thought about the first one, chassis. It's the chassis, then the chat, and then the coin. And unfortunately, yeah. Paul, I'm out. It's unfortunate because I liked you. I liked your get up. I liked your room. I didn't like your name. I liked your dad's money, and I like where you live. But for me, unfortunately, this time, I'm out.
Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you met that rugby player. Fucking see you in the clubhouse. I wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear about the time that you got pissed with that rugby player.
So Archie, it's time to bring back an incredibly popular section. They called it Clubhouse Stories, and that will remain its name. But this time we've asked our followers to just change it up a touch and tell us their greatest nights out when they've met famous rugby
Seeing
players.
Seeing pro rugby players on the lash is just some of my favourite banter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter if you're in the clubhouse, on the pitch, on the piss, in the pub or in the city. I just love a good story about a celebrity out getting on it, especially rugby celebrities.
Well, our first story comes from a certain Alec G. So a bit Alec like Clubhouse G. Stories, I will read it out, you analyse it, and we'll see how they do.
Alec G, the G man.
The G-spot.
That's good.
So
that's you wouldn't know it's preseason.
Here we go.
G-spot. Get me a beer, and then the whole pub would look around and be like, "Oh my god, wonder why they call him G-spot." And I don't actually know why. Just because his surname is G on a letter he wrote me.
Right. Okay. So here he goes, Archie. He goes, "Hi lads. It was the day of the Champions Cup final between Saracens and Leinster."
Hold on, mate. Don't think he asked me if I was well.
He didn't actually.
Rookie error. Okay, carry on. Go back.
Okay. Hi, lads. It was the day of the Champions Cup final between Saracens and Leinster and Newcastle, at which Saracens were victors and Pints were most definitely the losers.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right.
Having put my drunken father on a train back to Leeds.
Oh, no. Nightmare. When you're putting your drunk dad away.
You've never had to do that.
No, I have. I have. Yeah. Quite severely, actually. When he left my mother, he was very inebriated, got in a car, and it's sad actually.
Wait, 12 drove?
No, he drove into the wall by my car, and the car was damaged, and he was actually severely hurt, and we had to call the ambulance. But I know it's like when dads get drunk. Right. Carry on.
That's pretty dark. I took it upon myself to continue the celebrations into the Newcastle and, of course, Soho.
On
my way to Soho, a drunken man in front of me took a fall on a grazed street curb.
I've done that a few times after a few ales.
And as I helped him up, the man kept rising and rising and rising. The man was huge and with the Champions Cup winning medal around his neck.
No. Who was it?
It was Mauro Itoje.
Oh, no. Really?
I
don't think that guy had any banter.
Well, he clearly does.
And he likes a drink.
Mate,
Mauro.
I managed.
I would have been like, "Oi, Mauro, follow you on Instagram." And I can follow me back. And he might do. He might have done it because he was
so drunk. He may have done it. Yeah, sort of ill discipline. I managed to get a photo before being told by a Sari's backroom staff member that I should leave the scene.
Yes, and that is actually, funny enough, I need you to be doing that for me more often when I'm out. You'll have to come.
I don't want
people to see me inebriated. It's not a good look for the profile, for LinkedIn, for Instagram, for business. So can you write that down? Because that's something we'll need to talk about. I need to send you some dates on going out, and I'll need you around to ward off, you know.
Any fans?
Yeah, fans, common people.
Okay. It'd be fair to say that without me, England don't get to the World Cup final, and the Lions have zero chance against the Box this summer. He's essentially saved Itoje's life. You're all welcome. Alec G?
Mate, the G-spot. I like that banter. That would go down quite well in the pub. Yeah. I'll give that 6 out of chat.
It's
a good preseason start. Yeah, there was. I would have needed a little bit more detail, and he didn't ask me if I was well at the beginning.
Okay, 6 out of chat.
But great,
not a bad
great
way
bit
to
of
start.
Rugby banter. And I think a lot of people will enjoy that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings an end to an incredibly full and wonderfully entertaining, we hope, episode of the Rig Biz podcast. Archie, it's been an absolute pleasure to see your face again.
mate, it has been good to be back. I tell you what, I feel just, I've got a little smile on my face. It's just been great to deliver some pretty good banter.
Well, what are you up to this weekend? Everyone will be hoping to sort of catch you outside and get a photo.
Yeah, it is. It's bank holiday weekend, and you'll probably most likely catch me in the ship sinking pints.
All weekend.
In a sinking ship. You wouldn't know it's pre-season. That is fucking good chat. My analysis of the match, the pre-season match, I think, look, it was a tough fixture. Monty came with his A game. I think I delivered. I would probably go back into the pitch and say to boys, listen, we need a bit of work in the gym. But we're there. We probably won that 17-3. Gave away some needless penalties. I'm not mad. It's a pre-season match. That's what it's there for. And remember, we've got four more pre-season matches, okay, before we get to Lions Tour. And we're going for promotion again this season.
Well, also, if anyone is listening who does work in cricket, obviously Monty's looking for a job.
Yeah.
So please keep an eye out for
that. Or if anyone works in for a hedge fund, I think Monty Bannister would be interested.
You think he'd do a good job?
Yes. Do I think? I know he'd do a bloody good job.
Well, guys, if you're listening can help out Monty, then you know how to get in contact through LinkedIn.
Or if anyone in the gym is looking for a personal trainer. That was quite impressive what he did with those baked bean cans.
It was incredible. Well, Archie, it's been an absolute pleasure to see you once more.
Mate, guys, good to see you.
Lovely to be able to speak to you. Don't forget to go through all the links in the box to get all the goodies we're giving away, and we can't wait to see you on the 21st of June at Inferno's for our first ever live podcast.
Oh, can't wait for that. Love and champagne.